Today's Shir is Masechta Yevamos Daf Pei Zayin. We begin on Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. Teaches us the Mishnah Bas Yisrael Shenisus LaKoyin. The Bas Yisrael is married to a Koyin. Teichel B'Truma. She's allowed to eat Truma, as we've been learning throughout our Masechta. The Pasuk says, "The Koyin Ki Yikne Nefesh Kinyan Kasbay Hu Yoichabay." The Kinyan of a Koyin is entitled to eat Truma. And the wife is considered kinyan kasbai. Mes, if the husband who was the kohen passes away, and they have children, toich v'truma, she may continue eating truma. The Rishonim and Achronim discuss what is the halacha if somebody, we're just learning that the child of a kohen is the one that allows his mother to continue eating truma. What happens if that mother is a cholol? Do we say that a wife eats truma because of a husband? But of course, if the marriage is inappropriate, she doesn't get to eat truma. And therefore, her son should not be stronger than the father. Or do we say that the reason a mother eats truma is because there's a new din in the Torah? The din is that a child could cause that their mother should be able to eat truma. And therefore, it doesn't make a difference what her status is. She's eating truma because of her son. And the Rambam paskins clearly that a chalala never isn't, the Rambam says clearly that a chalala is never entitled to eat truma. Nisus Levi. So we continue with the woman that we're discussing. This is a woman who was married to a Kohen and was eating truma, had a son, was eating truma because of her son, and now her husband, that marriage, the husband died, and she now marries a Levi. The halacha is Teichel B'Maaser. She's allowed to eat Maaser because of her son. And I obviously explained the Mefarshim, that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameyer that we learned in our previous year. Rameyer in our previous year taught us that Yisraelim are not allowed to eat Maaser, but the Yisraelis in our Mishnah, because she's married to a Levi, may eat Maaser. Mace, if he dies, the Levi dies, and he left over a son from that marriage, Lohim Mena Ben, she has a son from that marriage, the halacha is Teichel B'Maaser, she could continue eating Maaser because of the son that was born to the Levi. Now she got married to Yisrael after the Levi passed away. So the halacha is because she's married to Yisrael, Lohim Teichel, Lohim B'Truma, Lohim B'Maaser, she may not eat Truma or Maaser. Mace, and if the Yisrael dies, Lohim Mena Ben, and she has children left over from that husband, the halacha is like Teichel B'Truma Lohim B'Maaser, because she was married to Yisrael and has children from Yisrael. It's interesting that the Paris Yosef asks the question, how could the case that the Mishnah mentioned ever take place? We've learned early in the Masechta that a woman who was married twice and her husband's passed away is a katlonis, and she may not get married a third time. So how could she have been married a third time? So he answers, one teretz is that Amish is following the opinion we learned, a machloikus, how many times after how many husbands does a wife become a katlonis? One opinion was two times, which is the way we paskin. Well, the other opinion was three times. Amish is talking about going according to the opinion that you're a katlonis after three times. Another explanation is that when we learned the sugya about katlonis, the Gemara discussed different reasons why a katlonis may not get remarried. And the Gemara actually gave two explanations. One was mayon goyrim, that having relations with her is what causes her husbands to die. And the other is mazel goyrim. So if we say it's mayon goyrim, if the husband didn't have relations with her, so then it's obviously not Mayan Gairim. And similarly, if we say Mazel Gairim, if the husband went to war, says the Ratvaz, or he died in that type of a situation, it's she's not in the category of my of Mazel Goyrim, and she could get remarried. Meis Benoam Yisrael. Now the child that she had from the Yisrael passed away, so she reverts back to being considered the Almana of a Levi. And that's why Teichle Maisa, she's allowed to eat Maisa. Meis Benoam Levi, now the son from the Levi passes away, so she reverts back to be considered the Almana of a Koyin and Teichle Betruma. But now, if Meis Benoam Koyin, the son that she had from the Koyin died, so as we've been learning, she's only, the Yisraelis is only entitled to continue eating Truma because of the fact that she had children from her Koyin husband who died. But now that those children don't exist anymore, the halacha will be loy toichel lebe Truma v'loy b'maisa, she's not allowed to eat Truma b'maisa. Says the Mishnah further, Bas Koyin shenesus liYisrael, when a Bas Koyin marries Yisrael, the halacha is loy toichel lebe Truma. The halacha is she's not allowed to eat truma. Mace, if the Yisrael passes away, v'loy menaben, even though she's a bas koyin, but since there's a surviving child from that marriage to the Yisrael, the halacha is loytechel b'truma. Nisus, now this woman whose husband, the Yisrael, passed away, married a Levi, the halacha is toichel b'maisa. She's allowed to eat maisa because of her husband, the Levi. Mace, if the Levi passes away, v'lohi menaben, and there's a surviving child from that marriage, toichel b'maisa, she's allowed to continue eating maisa. Nisus l'koyin, now if she marries a koyin, so because she married a koyin, toichel b'truma, she's allowed to eat truma. Mace, and now if that koyin husband dies, v'lohi menaben, and she has a son from that husband, the halacha is toichel b'truma, she's allowed to eat truma. And of course, the mefarshim ask, in the reisha, the Bas Yisrael, who was married to the Kohen Levi Yisrael, we learned that the children that she has from the Yisrael, from the Levi, prevent her from eating Truma, even though she has a son from the Kohen. Here we're saying, the fact that she has a son from the Kohen allows her to eat Truma, even though she has children from the Levi and the Yisrael. So the shouldn't the fact that she has children from the Levi and the Yisrael, and she's not married to a Kohen now, prevent her from eating Truma? So the Aruch Lener answers, she is a Bas Kohen. So since she's a Bas Kohen, she starts with a much stronger position in the right to eating Truma. And therefore, as long as she has a son who's a Kohen, even though she also has children who are not Kohanim, the Levim or Yisraelim, she could eat Truma. Mes benami Kohen, but if her son from the Kohen passes away, so loy toich b'truma, she can't eat truma because of a son from the Levi and a son from the Yisrael. Meis benam Levi, and then if the son from the Levi passes away, loy toich b'maiser, she may not eat maiser because she no longer has a son from the Levi. Meis benam Yisrael, but now if the son from the Yisrael passes away, so then she goes back, she's a kohenis with no children, and the Torah says, v'shava Beis Aviyah, Chazeres LeBeis Aviyah. She goes back to being a Kohenis, Valza Nemer, and she is the woman regarding whom the Torah said, V'shaval Beis Aviyah, Kenurea, Melecho Aviyah Teichel. So we learned, Mes Benam Levi, that the Mishnah taught us that the Bas Yisrael was married to the Kohen and has a son from it, and then she married a Levi and a Yisrael, and she has children. All of those children prevent her from eating Truma. Mes benam Levi, but if she married a Levi, and then they had a son, and that the Levi died and his son died, Teich b'truma. The Hadra Ochle b'shubana. So what we're learning here is that even though she had become disqualified to eat Truma, now she becomes qualified again to eat Truma. How do we know Minolan? From where do we know such a halacha? Answers the Gemara Amar Rav Abba Amarav. The pasuk says, "Ubas koyin kisi almana a grusha v'shava beis avia kenerea melechem avia toichel." The Torah could have just written the word "bas." The fact that the Torah wrote "ubas" says that as long as she falls back to the category where she has no children from the Levi or the Yisrael, she's allowed to eat truma. Says the Gemara Kaman. How can we understand this explanation? Rabbi Akiva, it follows the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, the Darush Vavi. that he learns limudim, he learns when the Torah writes the extra vav. But the Gemara is saying, according to the Rabbanon, who don't learn that way, how will they understand this Gemara? Says the Gemara, feel tame Rabbanon. Our Gemara could even follow the opinion of the Rabbanon. Kulo bas kro yaseiruhu. The entire word bas is extra. Because the pasuk says, ubas koin kisi ilizor. And the Torah could have just continued with saying, v'chisi alman of a grusha. Why did the Torah have to repeat, ubas koin, to teach us this halacha? Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbana de bas koin, that is allowed to resume eating truma. Kishi chazeres, chazeres l truma. When she goes back, she's allowed to eat truma. However, v'ene chazeres l chaz of a shaykh. She's not allowed to eat chaz of a shaykh, even though the family members of the koyin are allowed to eat the chaz of a shaykh, the portions that he gets from a carbon shlomim. That's not regarding this woman. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda Amar Ravina Bashelem Ahaykra. Where do we know this halacha? That even though we're allowing to eat truma, she will not be allowed to resume eating chaz of a shaykh. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says, the Torah is teaching us betruma, the murim and akachim, the chaz of a shaykh, which are taken from the kabbanis, the halach is loy toichel, she may never eat again from. Rav Nachman, Omer Rabbi Baravu says we know this pasuk because the Torah says v'shava beisaveya kenereo milechem aviyat teichel. The Torah says milechem, says from some of the lechem. V'loy kol lechem, but not all lechem. What does that mean? That the prat l'chaz v'shaik, that the chaz v'shaik she's not entitled to. Ask the Gemara, maskele Rabbi Bachama, maybe the Torah is teaching us, Ema, the Torah is teaching us, Laforas Hadat Balam, Nadarim, that even though when she was single, her father had the right to be made for her Nadarim, the father could annul her Nadarim. This woman who was married and now going back to her father's home, her father does not have that right. So of course, the question is, how would we learn, why would we say that Milechem Aviyah is speaking about Haforas Nadarim? What's the connection? The answer, the Rishonim explains, Ritva explains, is because if she would make a neder not to eat something, so if her neder stands under all circumstances, she may not eat that lechem, she may not eat it. If the neder is able to be annulled, to be mufar by the father, she would be able to eat the lechem. And that's why nedarim are connected to the pasuk of lechem. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava. So the Gemara's question is, maybe she should be allowed to eat chaz v'shaik. And the Torah is speaking that the father, even though when she comes back home, does not have the right to be made for her nedarim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, kva pasuk tana de Bei Shmuel. We already learned from the Bei Shmuel that once a woman gets married, even though her husband dies, her father no longer has the right ever to be made for nedarim. Where do we learn this? Says the Gemara, the time of the Bei Shmuel. The pasuk says, "V'neda amana grusha, kol asher asra al nafsha, yokum aleha." Matam aloimer. What is the pasuk coming to teach us that the neder she makes should stand? She, of course, the neder stands. She's not married anymore. She's a mono or grusha, and she's not in her father's home. Why would there be need to teach us that her neder is valid? Ella, the pasuk is coming to teach us a din. Harei shemaso av, father has a right to marry off his daughter when she's a ketana or a nara, and the father gave over his daughter to the shluchei habal. The father had shluchim, and they gave over the daughter to shluchei habal in order to eventually get married. And terrible tragedy, while she's on the way to get married, her husband dies or divorces her. Heichani kariba. What do I say about her? Do I call her Beis Avir Shazer, Beis Balzer? Because the Torah says, when it speaks about the right of a father to be made from the Dorim, the Torah says, V'osra Issa V'Beis Avir B'Nereo. And the Torah, when it speaks about the husband having a right to be made from the Dorim, says, when Beis Isha Nedoro. So here, this woman is not in Beis Avir and not Base of it, and not base Balo. Ella teaches us the Torah. Once she was left the Rishus Av, that means that the father or his shluchim gave her over to the shluchei Abal. The halach is that the father can no longer be made from the Dorim. There is a machlokes rishonim. Clearly, the Gemara is teaching us that the father has no right anymore to be made for her in the Dorim. What about the husband? Does the husband have a right to be made from the Dorim? The Torah says that not. Until she actually comes into her husband's home, the husband cannot be made from the Dorim. The Ran disagrees. And the Ran holds that as soon as she's given over to the Shluchei Habal, the husband has a right to be made for the Nedarim. So we see from here that that's what the Torah says, that once she leaves her father's home, he can no longer be made from the Nedarim, even though we're learning in our shir that regarding the halacha of Truma, she does go back to her father's home. Says the Gemara of Safra Amma, the Pasuk says, how do we know that we're learning that she's not entitled to eat chaz v'shoik? Because the Torah says, v'shava be'savi k'nereo melechem avi etoichol. We learn from here, lechem v'loy basar. She's only entitled to eat meat, bread, which is truma, but basar, which is kachim, she's not allowed to eat. Rapapama, melechem avi etoichol, lechem akonei levia. Truma, which is considered the property of the kohen, that she's allowed to eat when she goes back to her father's home. However, prat l'chaz v'shoik, not the chaz v'shoik, the meshuchen gavoy kazachu. When a kohen gets chaz v'shoik, the halacha is that it doesn't become the property of the kohen. Rather, what it means is that the kohen is given the privilege to eat it, but not that it becomes his property. And the raya is because the Mishnah Masechet Kedushim Daf Nun Beis Amadeis teaches us Hamakadish. If a kohen is Mekadish a woman, Bechelkoi, Bein Kotche Kotchim, Bein Kotche Kalim, whether it's his portion of Kotche Kotchim or his portion of Kotche Kalim, Enim Mekadishes. Rav Amma, the Pasuk, how do we know that she doesn't eat Chaz V'Shoik? Because the Pasuk says, V'Shchaza Atnufa V'Shoik Atshumba, Toichlu Ata Uvenecho Uvenesecho Itach. So we learn from a Bisanch Itcha, before she married a Yisrael, she was entitled to Chaz V'Shoik. But after she goes back to her father's home, she's no longer entitled to it. Amar of Adabar, have a Tana. The Brisa teaches us, when she goes back to her father's home, after she was married to Yisrael, and the marriage ends with no children, the halacha is chazeres l'truma, she's allowed to eat truma, v'eina chazeres l'chaz v'shoik, she doesn't get a right to eat chaz v'shoik, b'shvil b'no, the halacha is that if a Bas Yisrael was married to a kohen, and as we learned, her kohen husband passed away, and there's a son, the halacha is she's entitled to eat truma, and then she marries Yisrael, she's allowed to eat truma, but she's not allowed to eat truma anymore, but once he dies, she's allowed to eat truma. The halacha is that the Chazeres Af L'Chaz V'Shoik. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is, we're learning there are two different ways someone can eat truma. One is because she's a Bas Kohen who's going back to her father's home, and one is a Bas Yisrael who's eating because she has a son, a Kohen. So says the Gemara, the Bas Kohen who's eating truma because she went back to her father's home, so as we're learning in our shir today, is only entitled to eat truma, not chaz v'shoik. But the woman who's eating truma because of her son, not only may she eat truma, but she actually could eat chaz v'shoik as well. Mordechai went and said over this halacha kameid Ravashi to Ravashi, Amma, mech kamis abriya. Where do you want to learn this from? From the pasuk says ubas. From the pasuk says bas koyin to teach us this halacha. And the question is adifalamina. How could she be better than the bas koyin? The bas koyin was saying is not entitled to eat chaz v'shoik. And this woman who's really Israelis just happens to have a son, a koyin, should eat chaz v'shoik. Answers the Gemara, hasam. But a bas koyin, as we've been learning extensively in our shir, who's going back to father's home, Ksiv Miyute. There are beferish psukim, many, as we learned in today's shir, that exclude her from eating chas v'shoyt. Hacha, but the person, the woman who's eating because of a son, there is no miyute to say that she shouldn't eat chas v'shoyt, and since there is no such indication, she's allowed to continue eating chas v'shoyt. We learned in the Mishnah Bas Konshinisus Yisrael, and her son from the Yisrael passed away, so as we've been learning, she may eat truma. Tan Rabbanan, v'shava el beis avi k'nerea, prat l'shmeres yavam, that if somebody's husband died without children, she becomes a shmeres yavam. So while she's waiting for, even though she did not have yibam yet with this brother, but since she's a shmeres yavam, she is not in the category of a woman who's a shava beis avia. Nurea, another halacha that we've learned, that if she is pregnant, she's not allowed to eat truma. Says the Gemara of Eloi Dinhu. Why do we need a pasuk to teach us that the bas koyin, who is muberes, who's pregnant from Yisrael, is not allowed to eat truma? We should learn it with a kal v'chomer. Uma, b'makom shlo osa vlad ben rishon k'vlad sheni, where by yibum, where the Torah doesn't treat the tsar, a child from the first husband, should be considered like a tsar from the second husband, l'fatra min yibum. That means a woman that was married and had a child, and then she married another man, and they did not have, and she, that husband did not have children, she has to have yibum from the brother of the second husband. And we don't say the fact that she has children from a previous marriage should exclude her from yibum. Also uba kiyilut, but the halacha is that if a woman is pregnant from her husband, then she doesn't have yibum. So certainly in a place, makom she'asa vlad reishon k'vlad min hasheni l'pasul min hatruma, that if the bas koyin had children from her first husband, the Yisrael, even though she didn't have children from the second husband, who was a Yisrael, still, the fact that she had children from that first Yisrael husband, that even though she is a bas koyin, that prevents her from eating truma, enedin shenasa ibe kiyulut. So certainly that the uber that she has from that husband should be considered a child that should prevent her from eating truma. Why do we need a pasuk? Says the Marloi. This kal v'chomer can be refuted. Because mali osa ube kiyulut l'inyan yibum, when we speak about yibum, and we're saying that a fetus is equivalent to a born child, because by yibum there's another din. Also mesim kachayim. The halacha is that if the husband died with children, and now the children that he had died, the woman doesn't become mechuyev in yibum, even though now it turns out that her deceased husband did not have children. Therefore we say, uber kiyilut. Linyan truma, but by truma we don't say osam mesim kachayim. Yes, as long as the children of the Yisrael are alive, the halacha is that she can't eat truma. But once the children die, she can eat truma. So therefore, we should not treat yibum and truma the same. That's why we need a pasuk tamalayim kenera pratum uberes. The Gemara in Fiak says that a bas koyin who is pregnant from Yisrael, and her husband died, still may not eat truma. So the pasuk says that if she had children from the Yisrael, she's not allowed to eat truma. Says the Gemara, why do we need a pasuk to tell us that if she has children, she may not eat truma? V'tzrach l'michtav muberes, that if she's muberes from Yisrael, even though she's a bas koyin, she may not eat truma. We need a pasuk to teach us that she has children, she's not allowed to eat truma. Because in kas rachmana zera ein la, if the Torah would have only said zera ein la, I would say that only when there was actual children born, that's when the halacha is that she may not eat truma. Why? The mikara, originally when she was in her father's home, she was one person, chad gufa, v'hachshav, but now she's two, trei gufa, she and her children, that's why she can't eat truma. But if she's a muberes, there, mikara chad gufa, prior to her marriage, she was one person. And now, given that she doesn't have children, she's only pregnant, she's still chad gufa. So maybe she should be allowed to go back to her father's home. That's why we need Kinnurea to say that a muberes of a Yisrael bas koyin cannot eat truma. Because Rachman muberes, if the Torah would have only said the halacha mayabaras, the mikara gufa srika, when she was in her father's home, she was an empty body. She wasn't pregnant. The hashta, but now she's a gufa ma'alya. But now she is a pregnant woman. Avol zera ela, but when she had children, there it's a situation. The mikara gufa srika, when she was in her father's home, in her parents in her father's home, she was in one body. And hashta, she now also is a gufa srika. She's still a gufa srika because the child she had is born already. Emala, maybe she would think that under such circumstances she should be allowed to eat truma. She herself is eating truma, so that's why the Torah says tzricha v'zer ein lo, that as long as she has children from the Yisrael, they prevent her from eating truma. Simen amalei leinasa v'vlad yavam v'truma yavam v'truma simen amalei Rabbi Yehuda medaskar to l'rova leinasa mesim kachayim l'inyan yibam. If maybe the halacha should be that if when somebody died, he had children, and then those children die, that maybe the halacha should be that she should be chayiv in yibum now, based on the following kal v'chomer. Uma mokum she'osa v'lad min harishin k'v'lad min hasheni l'fos matruma. If by truma the halacha is that the child that she had from her first husband prevents her from eating truma, even if her second husband died without children, the children that she had from the first husband, the Yisrael, prevent the eating truma. Still, the halacha is, if there are no children left, the halacha will be that she can eat truma. So certainly, as we said earlier, if the second husband dies without children, even though she had children from her first husband, she's still obligated to have yibam. So certainly, shouldn't we say that halacha should be that ein adin shalei nasa meisim kachayim? Shouldn't the halacha be that if even though she had children, there were children at the time of death, but they unfortunately pass away, she be mechuyev in yibam when they die? Tamaloima derecher dachinoyim. The pasuk says that if there were children at that time, and then when they die, you're going to acquire her to have yibum, then it's going to be a terrible situation. One is that the husband who marries her, the husband should marry her, will say that how could this marriage be a good marriage? Because I now have a wife who has to go have chalitza because of a marriage that took place a long time ago. And that's something that would adversely affect the marriage. Others explain that just her separating from her husband is not darchinoyim. Others explain that even if she didn't get married, in other words, that even in a case where the husband died and he had children, and she didn't get remarried, and then those children died. To say to a woman that at one point you were chayiv in yibam, and now you were potter from yibam, because at the moment of death there were children, and now say to her you have to have yibam, that is unacceptable. The Achrayim discuss that here we're learning that the reason is because of the Chayiv Dachiyayim. But we've learned many times in our Masechta that we look at the moment of death. And if at the moment of death there was no chiv yibum, she reverts to being the erva of Eishasach. And that erva is a serious erva, as we've mentioned so many times in Amasechta, and it's an erva that remains forever. Says Rabbi Chanan, that here we can't use that concept, because he says that if ultimately there are no children, what that means is that at the moment of death, retroactively, we are determined that she was chayiv in Yibam. And therefore, the only reason we could say she's not chayiv in Yibam is because of this concept that of the new concept of the Rechaya and the Achinoyam, and it's inappropriate for the various different explanations we gave from the Rishonim to have Yibam once she was potter. Ask the Gemara. But on the other hand, the Nasa Masa Chaim Linyan Truma, why don't we say that if a Kohen, that a daughter of a Kohen, that the daughter, wife of a Kohen that died and had children, that halacha should be that even if those children pass away, she should be able to continue eating truma based on the following Kal V'Chomer. Uma, b'makom sh'loy osa v'lad min harishin k'v'lad min hashen l'patr min hayibam. As we just said, just because she had children from her first husband, if her second husband did not have children, she will be mechuyev to have yibam. Still, the halacha is osa meisim k'chayim, that if the child was alive at the moment of death, even though he died, she doesn't have to have yibum. So certainly in the place, makom she'asa v'lad min harishin k'v'lad min hasheni l'pasul min hatruma. As we said, if there were children from the first Yisrael to whom she was married, even though there were no children from the second Yisrael to whom she was married, the halacha is she's not going to be allowed to eat truma, even though she's a bas koyin. Ein adin, so shouldn't the halacha be by truma as well, the nasa mesim k'chayim, and even if the children are no longer alive, she should not be allowed to eat truma. Tamalaymar, the Torah says that what is the test we need to follow by a bas koyin or bas yisrael to be able to eat truma is v'zera einlo, v'einlo. The halacha is that she doesn't have children. That's the only thing that we look at, and therefore the bas koyin whose children died, she doesn't have children, and we don't treat meisim k'chayim. Ask the Gemara, v'nas v'lad min harishin, k'v'lad min hasheni li'in yibam m'kal v'chomer. We've been learning over and over in our shiur today that if a woman has children from her first marriage, but she didn't have children from a second marriage, the second husband did not have children, she has to have yibam. But ask the Gemara, maybe she should not have to have yibam, based on the following Kal V'Chomer. Uma, when we speak about truma, makom shloy also meisim b'chayim li'in truma, that the halacha is that if the Yisrael died and she has children and then her children die, the halacha is she could eat truma, even though she did have children from the Yisrael at the moment of his death. V'asa v'lad min hareishin k'v'lad min hasheni. The children that she had from the first marriage also prevent her from eating truma. So makom she'asa meisim k'chayim li'in yibam, that the halacha is that by yibum, if he had children at the moment of death, even though he loses those children, the halacha is she's potter from yibum, and it didn't shenasa v'lad min harishin k'v'lad min hasheni, and therefore the second, even though this woman never had children from her second husband, but if she had children from her first husband, she should be excluded from the chiyuv of yibum. Tamalaymer or ben loy ein loy, we look at the husband. This husband who passed away didn't have children. The Eloi, he didn't have children, and therefore there's a chiyuv yibam. Ask the Gemara, v'lay nasa v'lad min harishin k'v'lad min hasheni b'truma, that the halacha should be that even if she had children from the first husband, but if she did not have children from the second husband, and she's a bas koyin, she should be allowed to eat truma based on the following Kal V'Chomer. Ma'ab, when we speak about yibam, should we treat also a meisim k'chayim, that even though the children died, she's excluded l'patr min yibam, and this still, as we just finished explaining, loyos of v'lad min harishin k'v'lad min hasheni, the children that she had from a different marriage don't affect her chiv yibam from the second marriage. So certainly, makom shloyos ba meisim k'chayim linyan truma, in a place where the Torah doesn't treat meisim k'chayim regarding truma, ain't it then shloy nasa v'lad min harishin k'v'lad min hasheni, and therefore the halacha should be that she should be allowed to eat truma, even though she has children from a prior marriage to Yisrael. Tamaloymer, the Torah says that when may v'shava be'savia, when she may she go back to eat truma, it's only when zera enlo, that she has no children or Yisraelim. This woman has children who are Yisraelim, and makes no difference from which marriage, her Yeshla, and therefore she may not eat Truma. Matter based on which, no matter where the children who are Yisraelim come from. Hadron loch yesh mitaros. We begin, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, to begin learning the Perek of Ish Rabbah. The reason why this Perek is called the Ish Rabbah, because there are other Prokim in our Masechta that begin with the word Ha'isha. So the way to know that we're learning this Perek is from all the Prokim that begin with the word Ha'isha, this is the longest of those Prokim. And that's why this is called Ha'isha Rabbah. The subject we're going to be discussing now is not really related to Hilchas Yibum. It's really related to a much more complicated issue, halachically complicated, and that's an aguna. That's where a wife, husband, is not here, and obviously she's an Eishes Ish, and under what circumstances can we allow her to get remarried? If we look through the halachic literature of thousands of years, we'll find that all the Gedolei HaPoskim, going back to the times of the Rishonim, to the Achronim, to the Shulchan Aruch, all have spent much time devoted to, if there's Rachman Letzlan, a woman who's an Aguna, a woman who's in such a situation, to try to take her and be able to help her get remarried. And in fact, I saw that the Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor, who's one of the Bali Toisfis, says that we know there's a parsha in the Torah of Egla Rufa, where a person was found, a corpse was found, and we don't know who killed this person. And the Torah goes through a whole procedure, what has to be done with the Egla Rufa because of this situation. Says the Bechor Shor, why did the Torah say that we have to do this? Says the Bechor Shor, that the reason the Torah says we have to do this is because the Torah wanted, by going through this complex, big procedure, it'll become public that this man died. And when it becomes public that this man died, he may have a wife somewhere far away. And the publicity will help us be able to determine that this wife's husband died and she should not be an aguna. The Bach writes, V'kol mi shemata aguna achas bizman hazeh. If somebody is even able to help release one aguna bizman hazeh, ki ilu bono achas mechubanus Yerushalayim hel yoyna. It's as if he rebuilt, is helped in rebuilding of Yerushalayim. The Tzemach Tzedek writes in a tshuva, that even a Cholamoid, you're allowed to take edus, take testimony to free an aguna. And the Noi de Behuda writes in one of his tshuvas that it's right Erev Shabbos, right before the Zman, and he's still working on writing a tshuva to free an aguna. And the Paiskim discuss that if somebody helps to free an aguna, the halach is that he will be helped, that he will have children, and it will bring all sorts of toelos gedola. It will bring all sorts of positive effects. We find how Chazal, and that will really be the principle driving this entire perek, how Chazal was so concerned for the welfare of an aguna. So teaches us the Mishnah Ish Shalach Balad Minis Hayam, a woman whose husband traveled overseas, Vamrala Meis Balach, and they come to teach us that your husband passed away. And again, the reason how, says Taisus, this is connected to what we've been discussing, because this woman, if indeed we say her husband is dead, if she was married to a Kohen, will not longer be able to eat Truma. And that's why there's a connection. The halacha is venissus. So based on the information that was given to Beis Din, she gets remarried. Many Achronim is focused on the word v'omrloi, that the Allah, why does it say V'amru Loshen Rabim? We're speaking about one aid came. So Tosfos Yontif says that the reason the Mishnah uses a Loshen Rabim, V'amru Lo, is one case is where we had two Edim, but the two Edim are Pasla Edim. And the Mishnah is teaching us that as we're learning for Aguna, we could be lenient even with two Pasla Edim. Another explanation he offers is that normally an aid would be aid. If somebody did not hear the testimony directly from the aid, we have to hear it directly from the aid. Here was aid would be aid. It was still the halacha is for guna we accepted. And based on that psak, she gets married. And Venissus, and she gets married. And it's important that most Rishonim say that this woman got married based on one aid. She just can't get married based on one aid. You need to have a bezdin. That's what the Ramban teaches us. However, says the Ran, if she got married without a bezdin, she could remain married. The Rama says that you have to have a full-fledged bezdin of three dayanim who are not related to each other, not related to the woman, not related to the people who are offering the testimony that her husband died. The Chalkas Mechaikik disagrees, and the Chalkas Mechaikik says that one dayan is sufficient. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that certainly the Eid Echad, even though he's only an Eid Echad, and we're learning, and we'll continue learning, that we could be lenient in accepting only an Eid Echad for this testimony. Still says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the testimony has to be offered in front of a Bezdin. A testimony of an Eid Echad that's not offered in front of a Bezdin is not going to be considered valid testimony. So all of this happened, and she got married based on Bezdin giving her permission to get married. Then her first husband shows up, and it turns out that she was never allowed to be married to the second man. The halacha is that she can't remain married to either one of them. And as the Gemara Rashi tells us, the reason for this halacha is because one of the reasons why we're allowed to rely only on an Eid Echad is because Isha Daika Mintzibah. The halacha tells us that she's going to be careful before she gets remarried. Here, she wasn't careful. The proof is that her first husband showed up. And that's why she has to get separated from both. And the reason she has to separate from both, as the Rishonim explain, is because Asl Baal Ul Boil, a woman who had relations that she wasn't allowed to have, the halacha, she becomes Asr both to her husband and the halacha and to the other man. Other Rishonim explain that it's a knas. Because Chazal wanted to make sure that she's going to do the right thing and be careful before she gets remarried, that's why Chazal said that the repercussions, that if you get remarried and your first husband comes, the halacha will be teitze mizeh mizeh. What would be the halacha if she was mekudeshes? Then the halacha is that she didn't have relations. The halacha is, since she didn't have nesuin with the second husband, she can't go back to the first husband. There is an interesting machloikis, rishonim, what is the halacha regarding chuppah? She didn't have relations, but she had more than just erusin. She actually had a chuppah. How do we treat that? Teitze mizeh mizeh, tzricha get mizeh mizeh, and she has to have a get from both of them. From the first husband, of course she has to have a get, because she is his wife. From the second husband, she has to have a get midrabbanim, because Chazal were concerned, people may think that she first got divorced from her first husband, now married the second husband. And they're going to see that she is leaving the second husband without a get. Then people are going to assume that you're allowed to terminate a marriage without a get. The Misham says that the proper order should be The first husband should give her a get, and then the second husband should give her a get. However, says the Marsham, that if the order was reversed and the second husband gave a get before the first husband, it's acceptable. Vein l'ksuba, she's not entitled to ksuba. Because the reason Chazal said a woman should get a ksuba is that k'dei sh'lo yitekalev be'eino lo yitzia, it should be the turn to getting divorced. Here, we want them to separate. So since we want them to separate, she doesn't get a ksuba. V'lo peiros, the husband that ate the nuchsa melug, the second husband that, as we learned many times in the Masechta, the nuchsa melug she brings into the marriage, the husband eats the peiros, and the Mishnah is teaching us that she doesn't get those peiros back that she ate. Rashi in Masechta Gittin has a different pshat. Rashi's pshat is that Chazal made the following rule. He eats the peiros, and if she, chas v'shalom, is kidnapped, he has to ransom her. Here the halacha is that halacha wouldn't apply, and he would not have to ransom her. V'loy mezoinus, he's not obligated to pay to support her, and if she borrowed money for support, the husband doesn't have to pay it back. V'loy belos, if she brought in clothing into the marriage, and they got ruined, the halacha is he doesn't have to pay that value. And not only does he not have to pay that value, but he also doesn't have to pay back the value of the clothing that she brought into the marriage. And again, all of these halachas are for the same reason. We want to encourage that they should get divorced. V'loy belos, loy azeh, v'loy azeh, not from the first husband, nor from the second husband. V'mnotlo, mizeh, mizeh. And if she improperly took, taxer, she has to return what she took because she wasn't entitled to it. Havlad mamzer mizeh mizeh. If a child is born, the child is a mamzer. And as Rashi points out, the child that's born from the first husband is a mamzer the rabbanon, because she's really married to him, and a child that's born after this happens is not considered a full-fledged mamzer, as a mamzer the rabbanon. The child, however, who's born from the second husband is a mamzer d'oraisa, because when she was married to this man, the halacha is she's an eishes ish, and therefore the halacha is that such a child would be a mamzer. Interesting question. What would be the halacha if the first husband divorced her? And as we're learning, she's not supposed to remain with the second husband. Not only is she not supposed to remain with the second husband is supposed to divorce her. But now she's no longer married to the first husband, and now she got pregnant from this second husband. Will that child be a mamzer? So the Beis Shmuel says that the child will still be a mamzer, because when she got married to the second husband, as we've been explaining, she wasn't allowed to marry him. And therefore, any child born from that marriage is a mamzer. The Taz disagrees. And the Taz says that the child that's born from the second husband, of course she's not allowed, as we're learning, remain married to that second husband, but the child born from that second husband would not be a mamzer. Loi zemet zemet tamalo. The halacha is that a wife of a kohen is not allowed to become tamei, but to his wife, he's allowed to become tamei. The halacha is that since she's not really their proper wife, if it's a kohen, that he's not allowed to become tamei. That's the way Rashi explains. The Meiri explains that if a husband says, I don't want to become tamei, I don't want to attend my wife's levaya, he doesn't have that option. But says the Meiri that here the husband is not obligated to become tamei. Chazal said that if a wife finds something, it goes to the husband, because Chazal were concerned that there should be no eva, no enmity between the husband and wife. Here, we don't have that. Let there be enmity. We don't want them to remain married. Chazal said that a wife's earnings should go to the husband because the husband is supposed to support her. But as we just learned, this husband doesn't support her, so she's not entitled. He doesn't get her mas yedaya. We spoke earlier in the shir that the husband has a right to be made for the dharma of the wife, not in this case. If she was a Bas Yisrael, she becomes Nifslam and Akuna. She becomes disqualified from ever marrying a Kohen because she's considered a Zayna. Bas Levi, she was a Bas Levi, she may never eat Meiser because even though the Aloch is a Bas Levi, Shezinsa is allowed to eat Meiser, here there's a special Knas that they made that she should not be allowed to eat Meiser. Or Bas Kohen, and she's a Bas Kohen, she becomes permanently disqualified from ever eating Truma. Then Yashim Shazeh, V'Yashim Shazeh, Yashim Ksubasa. There's a concept of Ksubas Nindichrin, that the husband writes that whatever share of your Ksuba should go to your children, even if she dies beforehand, but that won't be here. The mace, and if the husbands die without children, either husband one or two, Achav Shazeh, V'Achav Shazeh, their brothers do Chalitza V'Loi Miyabim. They only chalitza is an option, not yibam. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ksubasa al Nechsei Baal HaRishon. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Tana Kama and says that indeed the second husband doesn't pay a ksuba, but the first husband does. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Rishon Zakim Mitziyasa Mas Yudah B'Forest Nidra, because he's considered a husband. Rabbi Shimon Omer, B'Yossi Chalitzasim Echel Shirashon, if the husband or if the brother of the husband, of the first husband, who if he died without children, and his brother did yibum chalitza, pateres tzarasa. The halacha is that it's considered a full-fledged yibum because that she is his wife, and therefore chalitza yibum done with her is considered a valid yibum chalitza. And furthermore, Rav Shimon says, and a vlad mimena mimzer, that the child born from the first husband is not going to be a mamzer. From this is Shaloi Brishus, but if she did not need Bezdin's special authority, rather it was two Adam came and they said that she her husband died, so she didn't do anything wrong. And therefore, even when her husband comes back, Bataras Lach Shaloi. And this is Alpi Bezdin. But when she got married based on the Pesach of Bezdin, that means when there was one Echad, one Eid, Teitze, the Mishnah goes back to explain the difference between when she got married based on an Eid Echad or based on two Eidim. If she got married based on an Eid Echad, Teitze, she has to, as we learned earlier in our Mishnah, not remain married to either of these husbands, or Patur Min HaKarbon, but she's Patur from HaKarbon. Loinus is Alpi Bezdin, but if it wasn't because of Bezdin, it was because of two Eidim. Teitze, she may not remain married with the second husband, the Chayevis B'Karbon, she's not considered an oinus, she's considered a shaygig, because even though she had a psak, she's still a shaygig, and she has to bring a carbon. Yofakoich Bezdin, says the Gemara, that the power of Bezdin, that she got married based on Bezdin, that she's turim in a carbon. Haru Bezdin and Nasi. A Bezdin told her she may get remarried. V'holch v'kilkala, if she went and married somebody whom she's not allowed to, then she would be chayiv in a carbon. Because why do we say that she's potter from a carbon? Because what she did was based on Bezdin. But Bezdin allowed her to get married in a kosher marriage, not in a non-kosher marriage. Shalai Tirah L'Nosei, only to a kosher marriage. So we learned in the Sefer, this is Shalai B'Shus, if she got married, Shalai B'Shus Bezdin, means she got married because of Edim, but Teres Lach Shalai. Shalai B'Shus Bezdin, what does that mean? Elba Edom. That means there were Edom. Mechlal, the Rishesh Bebezdin, is Eid Echad. That means, what's the difference, as we just explained? Rishus Bezdin means when there was Edom, there was only Eid Echad. Shalai Rishus Bezdin means there were two Edom. We see from here, as we said at the beginning of our shir, Eid Echad Neman, V'tanan Nami. And so too that we learn in Mishnah, Huch Sekul Lius Masin, Eid Mipi Eid, they will allow a woman to get married with an Eid B'Pi Eid, or Isha, or an Isha who normally, a woman who's not qualified to say Eidus, B'Pi Isha, B'Pi Isha, V'Isha, B'Pi Evan, B'Pi Shivcha. What do we see from here? Alma Eid Echad Neman. Then this halacha Eid Echad is Neman. But Tana Nami says that when we learn the Masechta Krisis, where we speak about the Chiyuvi Krisis, Eid Echad Amar Achal Techelev, the Eid Echad tell somebody you ate chaylev. V'u'am aloy achalti. and he disagrees, potter. Tama, the reason he's potter, damaloi chalti, because he's saying I didn't eat. What would be the halacha? Ha ishtik, and he would not disagree, mehemen. Again, he would be obligated to bring a carbon. Again, why? Because alma erech mehemen deraisa. Ask the Gemara, where do we see the power of an eid echad? Says the Gemara, the Tanya. The pasuk says regarding the chiv of carbon chatas, I hide alav chatas shechata. For loy shiadiu acherim. The halach is that alav, that if he knew that he did an aver on his own, not through others. Yochel afish enem achishoy. Let's say if he doesn't disagree, he's still not chayv. Your potis bring from carbon chatas. Tamaloyma I hide alav. The Torah says hide, that even if it was one aid that told him and he's not disagreeing, he's chayv to bring a carbon. Hechidami, says the Gemara, Ilema dasa trei, if two edim come and say that he ate chaylev, and he's not disagreeing, why do we need a pasuk? Alav chad, the pasuk speaking about one aid, and the Torah is saying, if he doesn't disagree that he's chayv, that he didn't eat the chaylev, mehemen, he's going to have to bring a carbon. What do we see from here? Shema mina. From here we see the concept that we've been learning, that Eid Echad Neman, that Eid Echad has strength midaraisa.